But through that, which when we start our STP plus O process, do you want to discuss first? So, how many would choose organizational governance first? Okay. Well, I think that's a given. So power supply will be the second topic. Is that?
Yep.
Good?
Yeah, that's how we do.
So we'll put it in that order. Marketing communications is was a dead third on both. So here we have two more things to discuss. Administration or engineering operations? Administration? Oh. Okay. And engineering operations?
Okay.
Okay, administration.
All right, so we're gonna stick with, basically we've got the question eight, priority list. That's what we're gonna use for today. The reason why this is important is because we're gonna start with the first one, we're gonna work our way through it, and we're gonna rinse and repeat. We're gonna recycle this, and our goal, and one of our measurables, is that we get 6 to 10 of these goals identified. And if we start out with the ones that are most important, if you're telling us that board and organizational governance is the number one, power supply number two, number three, so we'll be able to work through it in a way wherein we'll be able to get to getting these responses that you're looking for. Quicker. Yep, that one. All right, so again, big differentiator here. So we're the strategic issues are those that are high level, they're overarching goals, are usually over a period of time, and they're strategies, things you want to do to get from where you're at now to somewhere into the future. Operational is a today. It's what are we doing today? This is the stuff that staff are doing currently to manage the operations at the JNT, and really where we want to focus is at this high level strategic level. So just want to create that differentiation for you again. I'm going to do a real quick recap of this process, and we're going to jump into it, and we're going to start doing it. So again, the situation is where we're at today, and this is basically we're going to be looking for facts, opinions, situational information, expectations, current conditions, state as it is. Next is going to be your target, which is your goals and where we want things to be or how we want things to be. And then the goal is, you know, it's a goal, it's an end, it's a target you're shooting for, it's an objective, it's an outcome that you're looking for. The proposal is the path to get there. How are we going to propose to get there? What's the best way to get there? And then lastly, we've added this objective, which is how do we know when we've arrived? And most of the time, it's really easy. Once you get a proposal, it's pretty apparent your objective is going to be this. The tricky part is who's responsible, when is it going to be due, and is it going to increase human or financial costs? If not, it's the same or it's going to be less. So those are the things that we're going to be filtering for. So how this is going to show up in the overall plan, we're bringing it all together here, is that we identify the topic. So the topic is going to be back to admin, or back to these. So these will be the topics. These are your top topics. And then what we'll do is we'll move from those topics into the issue. So it could be power supply is the topic and the issue is new resource generation or hydro relicensing or something along those lines. And then the problem we want to solve is, are we going to try and get our hydro relicense, our project hydro relicense in time, whatever. So that's just an example there. And then, so again, the situation is where we're at now, what's coming down the pike, what are things we need to think about, here's some examples, capital improvements, drought conditions, resource adequacy, load growth, legislation, regulation. Those are some examples to think about on the situation. The target, again, is what needs to be different in the future as a result of where things are now and where you would like them to be, and what are some ways of getting there is the proposal. So how are we gonna get there? How are we gonna get from our goals into a solution that's we're looking for? And these are recommended. And then lastly, it's this again, the objectives, which is specifically how will we know when we've arrived? How do we know when we've achieved what we're setting out to do as a goal? We're gonna try and get measurable objectives because those are things that we can track. Those are things that the board can hold the CEO accountable to. Those are things that you can hold yourselves accountable to. So if it's a certain number of visits, or it's a certain percentage of growth, or it's a certain amount of generation, or if it's a certain amount of assets acquired, that kind of thing, those are deliverables. And then we'll look for dates and be able to check the box and say, yes, by date certain, we accomplished that. And then through that process, we'll determine again, there's a human, you're gonna have to add extra people or extra money. And if not, if it's going to be the same or if it's going to be a decrease. All right, so it's go time. We are getting into strategic plan. Does anyone need a break before we start cruising out of this, because I see people walking around and we're still trying to process food. And it's getting a little stuffy in here. So you guys want to take just a couple minutes, we can do that. Okay, let's do that. And then when we come back, we're going to rip through these.
Go ahead. We're back in session.
All right, so we've got a lot of resources at our disposal because we did a bunch of exercises to be able to provide and capture what it is that you guys are interested in doing. Your first item that you used, or that we used to try and get a gauge on where you guys were at, was on page 25 of your guidebook. And again, we decided that we want to tackle these main topics. So, and in this order, board and organizational governance, first, power supply, second, marketing, communications, member services, and I added legislative and regulatory based off of the comments that I heard from you guys today. I added that as part of this element here. Fourth is administration, and fifth is engineering and operations. And so if you look at your board and organizational governance mentions on page 25, that will give you a good account of those items that we have, that you guys identified as priorities that must be addressed during the strategic planning session. Also, in addition, what we've gone through is we've highlighted in green the items that came up that are of organizational board level or governance related. And so we'll also capture those and we'll talk through which ones are priorities, which ones we want to address. But there's some ones that are going to be kind of sticky, and it's going to require some thoughtful consideration. And so what I'm going to ask is that we start off with one that's not as difficult, because we're just doing our first run through of this process, and I want to make sure the folks are comfortable with it. And then from there, we can get into the gritty stuff as it becomes a little bit more, as we become more comfortable with the process.
Can I interject one thing? Just so you guys know, typically, you would start with an easier topic, so you can get a feel for the speed by which we go through these, by which we set a strategy, not solving the problem. So you're setting the strategy to solve the problem, not the problem. Is that fair?
Yes.
But we're not. We're going all in and tackling these first.
So, yeah.
Here we go.
So what's your pleasure? So we can address any one of the topics on here. Ideally, what we'd like to do is prioritize those that are most important to the board, so that we're tackling that as a team. The things that I heard that were pretty high up on the list were the messaging regarding North-South. That could be communications. It could be board or organizational governance. I don't know. I'll defer to you guys on what you think that is. Could be both. Board member terms, that came up as something that a lot of folks talked about. That certainly plays within the realm of what we're talking about. You know, there's a lot of community focused, protecting the communities, working as community collaboratively. That's in there. Being light and nimble in terms of how you as an organization respond to things. Talking about staff, that probably is more on the administration side, but also could be potentially board level if we're talking about the CEO. Working for the benefit of SEPA and all its communities, or reverse, working for the benefit of all the munis to benefit SEPA. Yes?
I'm going to recommend we start with board terms, because although I don't think they're in universal support, I think there's strong support for changing the term times.
Okay.
So I think that even though these are all fairly heavy topics, that might be the easiest of all to start with, as you suggest.
Okay. Any objection to that?
Just because you got all the chicken.
I said the board.
Okay.
All right, Lisa, thank you. All right, so topic is board and organizational governance. The issue is board terms.
If I may, Joel, what is the legality of how we paint terms of the board?
So just the technical, the way you would technically do it is that assuming you come to terms here, each member utility community would have to consent. There would be an amendment to the Joint Action Agency Agreement, and that's entered into between SEPA and the utilities. So,
and the most we would do today, we're not going to solve this today, the most we would do today is have a conversation about what the board's direction is on how to approach this. It's not, we're not solving it. What we're saying is, the board would like to consider potentially, is this a scenario board would like to consider revisiting what the board makeup is, and for actually this one's on terms. So this would be, and what we do is we take this information, we use it to inform a committee or the board or however you guys want to handle this. But really, this would be if you guys think as a board that this is a topic that needs to be addressed, we'll work it through this process, and then you'll take this information and then you'll go back home and you'll try and resolve it. We're not going to solve any of this today. We're not going to ask the attorneys to come in and provide legal opinion on how we're going to do this or if we're going to do this. It's really, all we're doing is providing the framework to have a conversation around it. You've identified it as an issue, and what we're going to do is try and give you some tools and something deliverable to take back to have a conversation about it. Okay? So just know that we're not making big decisions here. We're just framing out what we think we want to address. Okay? All right. So board terms is the issue. And who wants to define the problem?
Lack of board continuity.
Continuity? Okay.
Can you expand on that? Like, I mean, obviously the term limits and they keep going, but what about the continuity that is lacking?
Board knowledge.
Well, yeah. It's an experience on the board. Start working on a problem. You start in the middle of a problem. Your replacement does not have the knowledge that you have coming into that problem.
And hamstring an organization from being strategic. It's every day, there's a potential to swap out every year. Very difficult to move long term.
Well, the board is appointed by the mayor, so how long have you been on the board, Kyle?
Except for Peter, but he's not.
Okay. Yeah. And Rangel, I don't know how long you've been on. So I think there is some longevity, even with the single year, because it's up to the community and the mayor or the assembly, whatever it may be, of how those appointments go. If you have somebody that's working well for the community, and then as a mayor, you do a two-year term, well, there's a new mayor in that will appoint, but the guy will be in there for a year or whatever before he can do anything like that. So instead of the guy with the mayor, he's going to be there. I don't know if that's a bigger problem right now as we assume it is, because we've had some continuity in the board.
Well, but the appointer could appoint the same person for 40 years. So I don't know that it's a FIBA problem. It's going to be a community problem, right?
Yeah. I think it's all back on the community. So
I don't think, I agree with a lot of the opportunities, but I also think some may change the value of the individual in mind to be voicing the board. Sure. But see, for us, if they're going to be here, we have four members. It's usually the team members that are coming in every day.
I could speak to that briefly. I think one of the largest challenges for having every year we'll have people cycle in and off the board is the educational component, because it's a complex business. And we may have been having detailed discussions over the course of a year or two leading up to a major decision point. And right before that decision point, we have a major change out on the board. And you have to spend quite a bit of time trying to get these folks up to speed.
Just listen to him, sure.
That's one of the downsides. The positive side of having constant change is you have some new perspectives and it keeps things a little fresh, and it forces us to reach out a little bit more and do the educational process as well, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. And sometimes we'll repeat things for the new board members that maybe the old board members maybe forgot, or let's face it, we only meet you know, maybe six times a year. And, you know, there's some fairly long gaps in between our meetings. So it's, and, you know, so it's pretty hard to stay up on top of some of this stuff. So that's one of the challenges from the administrative side.
So that was a good thing, and I want to stop you guys on this real quick. So what Trey did there was we were talking situation, and then he rolled into a goal. And so this is the beauty of this structure, this construct, is that if you throw out something that's a proposal or a solution or a goal, we're going to try and capture it. So what he said was it takes time to educate new board members. So that's a situation. And a goal is, well, it helps SEPA educate and bring in new fresh talent in terms of with new board members in here. So that is where we want to be, right? It's part of the succession that we have with the alternates as well. So I just want to point that out and know that as we go through this process, we're just going to be writing and we're going to listen and we'll try and guide, but really we're going to try and capture as much as we can as you guys are talking. So yes, so Jeremy.
Primarily, I guess this is a question that I have is right now the topic is board terms. But we already have another issue that this won't solve and creates a problem is that we have a rotating seat. So for example, if we said the board terms are 2 years, that would be an impossibility to do with the way that we have a rotating seat. So until that is even discussed, I don't know that we can even solve this problem, if it is a problem.
Well, we could do have a question. We have the third.
Every year.
Well, and just to clarify too, it is another issue. So like for instance, we'll start working on this issue. This is about term lengths, right? We'll try to capture all the information that'll be in the final report so that something can be taken forward, and then we'll have another issue that's the rotating seat, which is a separate issue.
But you're saying that it informs. Right. So if you, we can deviate on this. I mean, if you think that it's more important to talk about the rotation versus the term, we can certainly do that.
My point is that if we spend a lot of time talking about the term and we can't get past that other issue that the seat rotates, we've just wasted pretty much that time because we can't resolve the term limit without resolving the other.
Right.
Okay.
So maybe I'm not being very smart at the moment, which is quite possible. Why is that? Why is it? Someone's got a 2-year term,
so
they'll
have
your term. Why does it matter if the seat rotates out?
We worked out with old deciding vote 2 years ago. So it could be.
I don't know. Why?
Because you would have, so if we started today, Petersburg would have 2 voting members. We'd have 1 to catch Ketchikan would have 2. We'd go 2 years in that configuration. Then after 2 years, Ketchikan would have 2. So it's a very good observation. Whether it's bad or not, I don't think that's a perfect discussion.
The rotating seat could be a 1-year term, and then all the normal seats could be 2 years as well.
That's true, too.
Eddie. That's a proposal.
Sorry, I'm jumping ahead.
No, that's right. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. That's exactly how this works.
It would help me to understand why our founding fathers decided to do it this way. And was it maybe enlighten us so that we know what we're deviating from. I think I know, but I want to understand what we're deviating from and why it was commissioned.
Are you asking me?
Yes,
you.
That's my wandering eye. I'm so sorry.
Oh, I just looked.
He
looked like a pilot. Police officer. And I'm sorry, I I'll take your input, Joel, because memory is memory is a funny thing, but. There was a trust issue in the room, and I don't think we came up with it. They came up with it as a, well, let's just rotate. And, you know, just active listening, like, well, how's that going to work, you know? I mean, and it was really checks and balances, you know, trust between the North and the South, I think. And remember, they were starting off on a new thing. So you know, we have our dam, you have your dam, and I get this thing about a tie line. How's it going to work? And so, you know, everybody sort of hedged their bet. Go ahead, Joy.
Well, and I think that's a historical part of it too, because the four dam pool had 5 members, so it was super easy to add. Each one was done by projects, so that was the orientation in 2009 that each project should have representation of 4. And so you were down to essentially
each community.
So you were down to two projects, three communities. And I think and then I know our advice was always, look, you have to have an uneven amount here. There has to be a way to break a tie. So there's that. That's a historical element.
And I think they rejected what I'll call the independent board person.
Yeah.
Someone else from somewhere.
Somewhere, right.
Telling us what we're doing and breaking the tie.
And
again, we're starting a new thing, and it was difficult for them to go beyond that.
And it wasn't known what effect the tie line would have. But the core of it was a trust issue. I mean, at its core was... I'll just say it straight out. The concern, I remember sitting in Wrangell, and Bob Weinstein, your predecessor, the mayor of Ketchikan, was sitting with a group from Wrangell, and they were saying, you have to guarantee us that you're not going to steal all our power. How are you going to do that? And so he's like, well, look, you've got this board. And in fact, to carry that out, the fifth board member on the first SEPA board was to be appointed by Ketchikan because we did it by coin toss, remember? And Bob Weinstein selected someone from John Jensen. So as a show of good faith. But that's the genesis of it.
The banking on what goes around comes around theory.
What Carl said, it's like if I'm going to do some tricky stuff this year, then it's going to either get undone next year or,
it'll get spaced back.
It'll just come back.
And in our history, Joel, how many times